now from the BBC with me, Colm Harrison. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we'll be going live to New York for the latest from the US Open tennis. We'll hear from Jose Mourinho, who said this about one of his star strikers just before sending him out on loan for 2 years.
I like him as a person, I like him as a player. So if he wants to leave, it's something that he didn't say to me.
And Mercedes Reid Rosberg, the riot act after his collision with Lewis Hamilton last week. We start there with tennis and the latest from the US Open in New York with news of a couple of upsets in the women's singles and a roundup of what else has happened so far on day five. Let's go live to Flushing Meadows and David Law.
Yes, over the last couple of hours, normal service has resumed with a win for former world number one Caroline Wozniacki and Tomáš Berdych looking as if he's about to squeeze through in five sets against Martin Kližan of Slovakia. But for an hour this afternoon, there were so many upsets happening that it was difficult to know which way to look next. First, two-time champion Venus Williams fell to Italy's Sara Errani. A couple of minutes later, the second seed Simona Halep went out to a 32-year-old qualifier, Marijana Lucic-Baroni of Croatia. And at the other end of the age scale, 17-year-old Swiss Belinda Bencic recorded the best win of her young career over the sixth seed Angelique Kerber. It means that the draw in the women's draw now is wide open and all to play for as the second week is on its way. This evening we have a clash between the two fastest servers in the world in both the men's and women's game, with Sam Groth, who hit a 163 mile an hour serve once. He's up against Roger Federer, a multiple champion here, and also Maria Sharapova, who won the title here in 2006, is up against Sabina Lisicki, who recently broke the world record with a 131 mile an hour serve.
David Law in New York, thank you very much. On to football, and Chelsea striker Sir Fernando Torres is on his way to Italy now. He's joining AC Milan on a 2-year loan deal, subject to agreeing personal terms and passing a medical there on Saturday. Well, the former Atletico Madrid and Liverpool striker scored 20 goals and 110 league appearances during his 3.5 years at Stamford Bridge. And speaking earlier on Friday, manager Jose Mourinho said he wanted to keep Torres at Chelsea.
We need three strikers to face the season. He's one of them. I like him as a person. I like him as a player. So if he wants to leave, it's something that he didn't say to me until this moment.
Well, of course, until this week, Fernando Torres was the most expensive player in English football. His transfer record, though, was broken when Manchester United signed Angel Di Maria from Real Madrid for $99 million. Well, Di Maria is set to make his debut in Saturday's English Premier League game at Burnley, where United will be looking for their first win of the season. And it's where Alistair Yeomans begins this preview of Saturday's matches.
This game would have always merited much attention, but with newly promoted Burnley trying to find their feet and United lurching from disappointment to dismay, the eyes of the football world will be on Turf Moor. 1 point from two league matches and a 4-0 humbling against third-tier MK Dons in the League Cup has obviously not been the start Louis van Gaal would have wished for at Old Trafford. And the United manager isn't expecting an easy game at Turf Moor either.
It's a fantastic atmosphere, I believe. It's also a derby, and they shall play with a lot of passion and a lot of long balls, and then you have to fight against it. So it shall be a very difficult game, but we have to show that we can play football and that we can pass the ball. In spite of the pressure of Burnley.
Champions Manchester City looked mightily impressive in the second half of their ultimately convincing win against Liverpool on Monday night. Mark Hughes and his Stoke City team will go to the Etihad in hope rather than expectation. Swansea City followed up their opening day surprise at Old Trafford with a solid victory against Burnley to make it 6 points from six. They meet a West Brom side with two decent draws behind them, and their new head coach Alan Irvine is aware they'll need to be well drilled again if they're to add to their points tally.
I know that if we are open, if we're disorganised, then they will open us up. And so it's important that we have a good shape about us. It's important that we work together as a team all the way through. And it's also really important that when we have the ball, that we use the ball well, because that's a big part of the game.
Chelsea are the third team in action with what is currently a perfect record during these early days. Jose Mourinho's side failed at Everton last season, and their former striker Romelu Lukaku is now a permanent weapon in the armoury of Roberto Martinez. But the Everton manager sees a different Chelsea this time around.
They are stronger because you're looking at not just the first 11 that they've been playing in the last two games. I think you're looking at throughout the squad, and you could see this team last two games. Being able to compete in a very, very top level in different competitions, and being able to face three games in a week with no drop in their levels of performances. So that's quite impressive.
Neil Warnock couldn't resist the challenge of one more go at the Premier League when he returned to Crystal Palace on a two-year contract this week. His second coming begins at Newcastle. No points so far for Palace, but Warnock sees possibilities.
I think they've got a good group of players. And I think if they all play to the capabilities, we're quite capable of holding our own, really. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge. And it's going to be difficult on Saturday because we've got a few injuries and we need a few players. I think that the lads have responded. It's been a great response from them. You know, I've already known a lot of them beforehand. And the other lads I've met really fit into place. I can see now, having met them only one day, you know, why they did so well last year, you know.
West Ham, one win and one defeat, meets New Look Southampton, and Queen's Park Rangers are at home to Sunderland in the day's other games.
Elsewhere in Europe, there are several games played on Friday night in Germany's Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund won 3-2 at Augsburg. In Spain's Primera División, Getafe beat Almeria 1-0, Valencia beat Malaga 3-0, and missed a penalty. And in France, in Liga, Dimitri Payet scored twice as Marseille beat Nice 4-0. In Africa, Ivory Coast risk being disqualified from the Africa Cup of Nations if they forfeit their qualifier against Sierra Leone because of fears over Ebola. The two sides are due to meet in Abidjan next Saturday, but the Ivorian government won't allow the game to go ahead. A spokesman for the Confederation of African Football told the BBC that if a country forfeits one qualifier, they'll be disqualified from the championship. Onto Formula One, and Nico Rosberg has apologised for causing the contact that forced his Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton out of last week's Belgian Grand Prix. In a meeting with team boss Toto Wolff and technical director Paddy Lowe, Rosberg acknowledged his responsibility, and the team say suitable disciplinary action has been taken. But our Formula One correspondent James Allen says it might not be the end of the matter.
It'll be very interesting. I think we've got 7 races to go, 200 points available. And obviously Rosberg has a 29-point advantage. So Hamilton's got a lot of catching up to do. And he lost ground big time with what happened in Belgium at the weekend. The feeling between the two is fairly toxic. And I think it's going to be a difficult situation to manage. And I understand that they both have very heavy sanctions. They're aware of the sanctions should they hit each other again. So I think for the moment it's a truce. But I would say it was an uneasy one.
Italy's Alessandro De Marchi won the 7th stage of the Vuelta a España in Andalusia. He broke clear with 12 kilometres to go and finished 1 minute 35 seconds ahead of the field. Alejandro Valverde retains the race leader's red jersey by 15 seconds from Nairo Quintana. In golf, Ryan Palmer leads after the first round of the Deutsche Bank Championship in Boston. That, of course, is the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Palmer shot an 8 under par 63 and leads by 2 shots from Keegan Bradley. World number 1 Rory McIlroy is 7 shots off the lead at 1 under par. Meanwhile, on the European Tour, Henny Otto of South Africa leads at the halfway stage of the Italian Open near Turin. He cutted a 10 under par round of 62 to move to 15 under for the tournament and leads by 3 shots from Austria's Bernd Fiesberger. Scotland's Stephen Gallagher, who needs a top 2 finish to secure an automatic Ryder Cup spot, is 8 shots off the lead at 7 under par. And in cricket, Zimbabwe's Prosper Utsaya took a career best 5 for 36 as South Africa were bowled out for 231 in the latest match of the triangular series in Harare. He still finished on the losing side though, as Zimbabwe was skittled out for 170 in reply with more than 11 overs to spare. The next match in the series is on Sunday. It's also in Harare. Zimbabwe face Australia.